Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Sun First Solar, known for delivering solar excellence since 1984 and recently voted best solar company in Marin County. We're also brought to you by Terzo, an authentic upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. Today we have part two of our conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Well, John, the Giants pitching has been kind of up and down this year, and there's no doubt that they miss Madison Bumgarner, and he's throwing again. So, I mean, I guess it's time to get excited about that. Maybe he comes back earlier, but don't count on it, right?
You're right. He's going to pick up a baseball and throw for the first time since he fell off the dirt bike on the off day in Colorado. And a couple of weeks when I spoke with him, he was actually targeting this time. He was saying June 1st would be the day he would start throwing, and he seems to be on schedule. And from there, you know, he'll make a rehab assignment. You know, from there, he won't make a rehab assignment. He'll throw on the side a few times. He'll get up on the mound. He'll face hitters. Then he'll make the rehab assignment. It seems like an all-out spring training for Madison Bumgarner, who won't be a Giant anytime soon, but at least it's the beginning of the phase, so that he's going to be throwing again. And no matter how good Ty Block has pitched, you know, they've missed him. They've missed his presence in the rotation. They've missed his personality in the clubhouse. They've missed his winning attitude in the dugout. Those are three things that, I mean, Ty Block, like I said, has been wonderful. And he's outpitched most of the guys in the rotation. And maybe he would have slipped in somewhere anyway. For who, I don't know. Because Kane has been doing okay, especially at home. But it's a situation where when you – and then they missed Posey for a while too. So it's a situation where your best two players are out. A team can only struggle. But I guess there's hope. And if the Giants somehow turn this thing around and maybe get back to 500 by the time Bumgarner returns, then maybe they're in business.
Well, the only way for them, I think, to get back to 500 is that some pitchers have to step up and be more consistent. I mean, especially when you look at Johnny Cueto and you look at Matt Moore, those two guys have to pitch better. And for Cueto, a lot of it probably has to do with these blisters. And I don't know if maybe something's lost in the translation, but is it better for him to be out there and try to callus the blisters, as he's been saying? I mean, maybe that seems to make sense, but at the same time, he can't throw all of his pitches. I mean, I know, you know, the cutter is one that he has more of trouble throwing with the blisters. So, I mean, that's going to limit his repertoire and thus make him not the same pitcher, right?
Yeah, and that was the case, at least up until Sunday, when we kind of saw the old Johnny Cueto, because he did go deep into the game. He was effective for most of the game. He said afterward that the blisters weren't so much of an issue anymore. I mean, he did go six innings. And I mean, compared to last year, I guess we were all spoiled because he went seven innings every single game. He gave up one or two runs every single game. He has four losses. He didn't have those losses till late in the season. And now his ERA is 4.5. He's close to being a 500 pitcher, and he's given up a bunch of home runs on the road. What, 11 on the season, 10 on the road. So it's almost as if you can't count on him in a lot of these road games, because he does give up the long ball and he does get hit around pretty good. So it's not the same old Johnny Cueto, but I think he'll still be a popular figure come the trade deadline. Whether the Giants want to unload him or not, whether they think he'll opt out and they would get nothing for him because he would be a free agent, And he has every right to do that contractually, even though he has a long-term deal. He has the two-year opt-out. So if you're the Giants and you're still 10 games back at the deadline, and you pretty much know you're not going to make the playoffs, maybe trading Johnny Cueto is the way to go. Maybe they can ship him to a team as a rental, a two-month rental, a playoff team that could really use him, and suddenly they get a young left fielder. Maybe some prospect, some up-and-coming player who has very little service time, and the Giants would have control of his contract for a long time, say 6 years. That could be intriguing. That could be a way to go. Plus, they'd save an awful lot of money. They'll have Kane off the books next year, and with Cueto off the books, they would be under the threshold that warrants a luxury tax that they've been paying into for 3 years. So after 190 million plus payroll, they'll pay 50 cents on every dollar, which they don't really want to do. Okay, they want to be under this threshold. They don't want to pass 200 million. They want to get under this thing next year, and maybe with a left fielder, maybe they go out and get another pitcher with Bumgarner back and Ty Block proving himself here. Maybe they go into next season without Cueto, but a pretty darn good left fielder, and maybe that's the upgrade they need. It's a big deal to trade Cueto, considering how good he was last year.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been as good this year.
We'll get back to the conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in just a moment. Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website, www.terzosf.com, for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs. When was the last time the Giants were in this type of mode where they would unload players and look towards the future? And I'm not saying it's wrong. I mean, especially the way they've been playing, if that continues, they got to make upgrades, especially on the offensive side. So it's got to be strange, though, for everybody involved, you know, in the front office to switch into that mode if that happens.
Yeah, and maybe the next best trading chip would be Eduardo Nunez, who's a free agent. And he probably wouldn't bring a whole lot at the deadline. So it's starting pitchers are always premium at the deadline. Teams looking for that one last player to put them over the hump. Lord knows that the Giants have gotten that guy many times over the years, but you're right. They haven't been sellers under this, you know, Brian Sabian administration, Bobby Evans administration. But it seems to be a first. I mean, they're not getting any younger, and they have a lot of long contracts for a lot of these players who are not putting together a winning team this year. So it really makes sense to move Cueto. Of course, that all changes if they become a 500 team and have Bumgarner coming back. But will that happen? The way things are going, it doesn't look like it. But stranger things have happened, I suppose.
More with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this. Jones goes back near the wall, shading the sun, and he dropped it. He lost the ball in the sun. Let's put the sun to good use at home with a SunPower residential solar system. Your SunPower elite dealer, SunFirst Solar, has a wide range of financing options, and they provide the finest customer service from start to finish, regardless of size or scope. SunFirst Solar offers the highest efficiency systems, newest technology, and the best warranty in the world. SunFirst Solar offers the most competitive price while not compromising on quality. This summer, let the sun heat your pool and eliminate your energy bill. Don't drop the ball. Call SunFirst Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. And get your SunPower solar system today. Now, the other day you touched on the Dusty Baker story and his son, Darren Baker, and I wanted to get more into that because you wrote a really nice piece on Darren Baker, and it really makes me feel old, John. That, I mean, it seemed like just yesterday that he was being picked up at home plate by JT Snow in the 2002 World Series, and now here he is, this kid who's going out of high school and ready to go to either Cal or to a major league organization. As he'll get drafted, he could make that decision to go play in the minor leagues. We'll see which way he goes, but I mean, he is a legitimate prospect player from being that little kid that we remember at the World Series. Pretty amazing.
It is, isn't it? 3-year-old Darren is now 18-year-old Darren, and he's no longer about to get trampled by David Bell at the plate and carried off by JT Snow after Kenny Lofton triples, but he's graduating from high school up in the Sacramento area. He is committed to Cal. The June 12th draft is looming. He had a pretty good senior year. He was a second base. He's not a big guy, 5'11", 165. He played second base, maybe his, you know, true position as a junior, but there was room at short, so they moved him over to shortstop. He had a pretty good year, hit 395. But more than any of that, he went to the and got invited to the area code games down in Long Beach State in August.
Oh, yeah.
And scouts saw this kid, his size, his range, his athleticism, and stuck him in center field, and he made some pretty darn good plays. So suddenly he's projected as a center fielder by a lot of scouts. Now, he's not going to be a high draft pick, maybe middle rounds, and it's likely he will go to Cal, maybe to fill out, maybe to and by the way, Dusty Baker would have loved, in retrospect, to have gone to college, been the big man on campus and all that. But he didn't. I mean, the old story, out of high school, also from the Sacramento area, he disregarded the advice from his father, who wanted him to go to Santa Clara and play basketball. And he signed out of high school with the Atlanta Braves. And there was a falling out between Dusty and his father, and his mother got assurance from Hank Aaron that Hank would take care of this kid, this California kid. And his mother eventually agreed, and Dusty didn't speak with his dad for years. They finally did get together and became close. We saw him a lot when Dusty managed the Giants. We saw his father around quite a bit. So they had a real close relationship. It was a nice story. But Dusty doesn't want any of that stuff to happen with Darren, and he's going to give him his own opportunity to make the decision. But if he's 25th, 35th round, you know, that's not incentive to sign as much. So you would imagine with a great opportunity at Cal, a school he's always wanted to go to in Northern California, I think that would be his way to go. And you know, he's the great thing about Darren is having a major league manager as a father, you get pretty good mentoring. I mean, Joey Votto and in Cincinnati and Bryce Harper in Washington, and he needs to work on base stealing. So Dusty contacted Vince Coleman. Okay. So
nice to have that guy teaching you. Yeah.
But through it all, from all accounts, he's remained, you know, the same Darren, very humble, good kid, respectful, realizing, you know, what's given to him. He gets it. He understands everything and embraces it. So it's you know, he's not a head case. He's a good kid. And, you know, going back to 3-year-old Dusty, or Darren, rather, he embraces that, too. He said he doesn't remember it. But, you know, he'll see it on tape because people keep asking him. He said he's been asked 1,000 times about it, and he's cool with it. I mean, that's who he is. That's who he was. But it's time for him to move on and become Darren, the college athlete, student, or Darren, the professional ball player. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Well, it seems like he'd be a great fit at Cal. I had a chance to cover 3 of their games this year for Pac-12 Network, and Dave Esker does such a great job. They have a really young team there at Cal. They're building that up, and if Darren Baker could join that, that would be cool. One of the funniest parts of your story, I thought, was how Dusty Baker was watching those games in high school and kind of sitting off to the side, didn't want to, you know, be the overbearing dad who's the major league manager. And when he had that time off, when he wasn't managing in the major leagues, he's sitting there with the toothpick, and I could just envision that. He's over there in the stands, and the head coach at the high school, I think it was Jesuit High School, is saying, hey, come on, you know, help us out. You can even take over the team. You can manage the team. You know, why not?
Yeah, it was before he got the Nationals gig. He was off for a couple of years after Cincinnati, and Darren enrolled as a freshman, and so Dusty would be seen, but he would be a few hundred feet away, sitting in a chair, and as Darren says, with toothpick in mouth. and Darren would say, hey, you don't have to sit out there. You could, you know, he didn't want to be that dad. He didn't want to be that mom, and we've all seen that dad, that mom, you know, stand behind the backstop and yell and scream as if they're playing the game, you know, let the kid play. And that's kind of the cool thing with Dusty. He just lets the kid play, lets the kid be him. And he didn't want to interfere, didn't want to distract. But once the coach got to know Dusty, and the coach, who actually is from the Sacramento area, Jesuit high school coach, Joe Patolny, he remembers Dusty playing Legion ball as a kid. So, you know, he knew of Dusty long time ago from the Sacramento area. Dusty graduated from Del Campo. Anyway, so, you know, all these years later, Dusty's back watching his kid, and the coach actually goes up to him and not only says, hey, do you want to help? He says, hey, just take over the whole program if you'd like. And Dusty said, no, I'm good. I'm fine. So shortly thereafter, he takes over the Nationals. So the coach jokes with him. He says, man, you could have had this high school game.
Yeah. What were you thinking?
What are you thinking?
But they're rolling pretty well there in the National League. He said, the moral of this whole story, John, is that 15 years goes by really fast. So take advantage of every day in your life because, man, did that go by fast.
Didn't it? That was 02, October. And because of that, they established the so-called Darren Baker rule, which allowed bat boys to be bat boys and bat girls to be bat girls only if they were 14. So he had to wait another year, 11 years, just to be legal to be a bat boy. So, yeah, we're getting old.
One of the best moments in World Series history, no doubt. John, thanks a lot for the time. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
That's John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Join us again on Friday. We are scheduled to talk to Mark Purdy, columnist with the Bay Area News Group. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.